Hi, I'm David Fettes, and this talk is about using parentheses in logic to translate complex sentences into symbolic logic. It may sound a little boring, how do you use parentheses, but it is a very important part of logic to properly be able to group our thoughts and the ideas that we're dealing with. In many sentences, there are multiple operators. In previous talks, we've talked about complex propositions, and usually those just had two atomic propositions and just one operator. But now we're going to start talking about having multiple operators in a proposition. Here's an example. Bob will not go to class, but will play video games. Now, when we break that down, we have two assertions. Bob will not go to class, but we can't have that as an atomic proposition because it contains a negation, and a negation is a logical operator, so we can't say that that itself would be an atomic proposition. And then Bob will play video games. When we break that down into the atomic propositions, we'll have Bob will go to class, symbolized by the constant C, and Bob will play video games, symbolized by the constant G. And then if we want to say Bob will not go to class but will play video games, we have tilde C, that means the negation of Bob will go to class, so Bob won't go to class. And remember, but is a conjunction which can mean and or just joining two different statements. So tilde C, then the conjunction, the raised dot, and then G, he will play the video games. Now that's a sentence with multiple operators, and yet we can clearly see what it means. But it doesn't always work out so well to just string things together and read them and say, now we've got the sentence translated into symbols. Here's an example. Bob will not both go to class and play video games. So what we're trying to say with that sentence, Bob will not go to both go to class and play video games, is we're saying Bob might go to class, Bob might play video games, he might do neither, but he won't do both. Now, how do you say that in symbols? Because you can see that that's what the sentence is saying. He will not both go to class and play video games, so he's not going to do both. But how do you put that into symbols? Well, let's get our atomic propositions. Bob will go to class. Remember, you can't have a not as part of that because it's an operator. So Bob will go to class is C, and Bob will play video games is G. Then what will we say is the resulting translation? Well, we know he won't go to class, so we put a tilde in front of the C, and we know that this is a conjunction because it's talking about two different things. He won't go to class. And so we just say tilde C and G. He won't go to class and do video games. But there's a problem with that because if you read that, you'll see, well, it might mean Bob doesn't go to class and he does play video games. See what I mean? Tilde C means he won't go to class. Raised dot means and G means he will play video games. But we're trying to say that he won't go to class. He won't both go to class and play video games, though he might go to class and he might play video games. He won't do both. So this one won't convey what we're trying to do. So again, we have our atomic propositions, but if we use parentheses, we can say it the way we want to. We're trying to say that he won't do both. Now, how would we symbolize the bothness? Well, C raised dot G means he goes to class and play video games, and we're trying to say he won't do both. So we put parentheses around that whole thing, and then we put the tilde out front of the whole parenthesis, and that says not C and G. So he's not going to do both. Now, the main operator of a sentence, when you're doing parentheses, the main operator is the one that ranges over the whole sentence or influences the whole sentence. So if you have a tilde in front of a set of parentheses with some propositional information inside, then the main operator is the tilde because it covers the whole rest of the sentence. But if you have the parentheses around outside the whole thing, there's really no operator outside the parenthesis, and so the main one inside is the raised dot, the conjunction of the two atomic, the two different propositions there. Let's try to translate. Noelle will either feed the dogs or clean her room, but she will not do the dishes. Well, when we try to translate from an English sentence into the more symbolic logic, we first have to find the atomic propositions and the constants for those. So the first statement is, Noel will feed the dogs. Remember, you can't have a not in an atomic proposition. Noel will feed the dogs. Noel will clean her room, symbolized by C. Noel will do the dishes, symbolized by D. Now, what's our next step? Well, let's start breaking it down. She will not do the dishes. Let's symbolize that. That would be tilde D, right? D means she will do the dishes, but our sentence says she won't, so let's go with tilde D there. Next step, it says she will either feed the dogs or clean her room. So that's a disjunction. So we take F, she will feed the dogs, wedge for or, and then C for clean her room. Next step, there's a but. There's a conjunction there. And that means we use the raised dot. So we've got Noel will either feed the dogs or clean a room. That's F, wedge C, and then but, a dot, and then we've got a tilde D. So is that the answer? We've got F or C and not D. Well, that could mean different things, so we still have to figure out how to group those symbols once we've got it. Because without parentheses, F, wedge, C, raised dot, tilde, D can mean different things. It could mean F, wedge, C, and not D, or it could mean F, wedge, C, and not D. Or to put it in English again, it could mean, well, let's go back for a moment. It could mean that F means feed the dogs, C means clean the room, D means do the dishes. So it means she'll feed the dog, or, and then C and not D. Clean the room, do the dish, and not do the dishes. But it could also mean something different. It could mean that she'll feed and that she'll clean her room and not D. You see, those are two different meanings. And so we have to have one meaning. We can't have a symbolization that could mean two different things. So what we want to say is she will either feed the dogs or clean her room, but, there's the conjunction, she will not do the dishes. So you put F or C in parentheses, then the conjunction, but, translated as the raised dot or and then not do the dishes. And that's how you would symbolize that. You have the three atomic propositions, the negation of the last atomic proposition, and you put parentheses around the disjunction F or C. Overall, when you're trying to translate, and this will take a little practice, and you'll have opportunity for such practice, I'm sure you're just dying to get at it, aren't you? You'll have a chance to practice in your exercise how to translate from an English sentence into the more symbolic logic. The first thing you do is you identify the atomic propositions, and remember, you can't have a not in those. You'll use the not as the negation operator later. But start by identifying atomic propositions. Your next step is pick a unique constant for each of those propositions to symbolize it. And then you ask some questions. Which atomic propositions are grouped together? And what operator connects each group? Because then you're starting to ask, and your fourth question is, what's the main operator of the whole sentence? So you have to figure out your propositions and how they ought to be grouped, and part of that will be determined by figuring out what's the main operator of the whole sentence. And then once you've written it out as a logical translation, then read it back. Put substitute back in what those constants mean. You know, you have an A. What did that A mean? You read the atomic proposition that A represented. You read the whole thing. You read it back and you see if your translation matches the English sentence. And if not, well, go back at it again and make sure that you have the right constants, make sure that you have the right operators, and then make sure you have the parentheses in the correct place to give the meaning that you want. Those are the basic steps for translating, and then you just have to keep on practicing until you get the hang of it. Let's try. Bob cannot fly a plane or pilot a ship, but he can ride a motorcycle. Okay? The atomic propositions are the first thing to do, and then assign each of those a constant. Atomic propositions. Bob can fly a plane. Represent that by P. Bob can pilot a ship. Represent that by S. Bob can ride a motorcycle. Represent that by M. So you've got those propositions, and now you say he can't fly a plane or pilot a ship. So he can't fly a plane is not P, and he can't pilot a ship. So not P and not S are both true. And you put parentheses around that, and you say he can ride a motorcycle. So then outside the parentheses, you put the raised dot and the M. That could also be expressed. It's a similar, it's written differently, but it means exactly the same thing in logic. You could say he can't fly a plane or pilot a ship. So if you took the proposition P or S, Bob can fly a plane or pilot a ship. That's what it means in parentheses. P wedge S is Bob can fly a plane or Bob can pilot a ship. But we're saying he can't do either one, so we put a tilde in front, which negates. It says he can do neither of the above. And then you can have the raised dot to represent the and or the but, and he can ride a motorcycle. You see that both of those expressions written in yellow actually mean the exact same thing. You can say that if Bob can't fly a plane or pilot a ship, you could say not P and not S, or you can express it as not P or S, with parentheses around that. Well, that's enough for our use of parentheses. I hope you enjoy getting a little bit of practice in and getting the hang of it. One of the things to do in this is not just to get frustrated or bored and say, I don't want to bother with all those symbols. A real aim of all of this is to make you a more exact thinker, to make you a more logical thinker. When you read a Bible passage or a sentence and know how the different parts fit together, what are the truth values sometimes that are implied of various statements, and what is being claimed and not being claimed, whether you analyze biblical statements, whether you analyze political arguments, whether you're just trying to figure out what something implies and what it doesn't, the use of logic can be helpful to you. And like many things, sometimes you just got to toil at it. If you're learning a new language, you have to learn some of the vocabulary. If you're learning mathematics, you have to learn what some of the symbols mean and then practice operating with them. And here in Logic 2, that's what we're doing. You're learning a little different kind of language and a few symbols that are used in certain ways, and we need to master that. And when we do, then our minds will be better trained to really think through matters of truth and falsehood.